Jay Mills, what's going on, man? How have you been the last couple of weeks?
Man, I've been pretty good. My grandma's been out here since from North Carolina, so I've been spending a lot of time with her. Went golfing yesterday, had two eagles. I haven't had an eagle my entire life somehow. I'm a decent golfer. Not great, 7 handicap, but two eagles in one round. It was a crazy round, up and down, triple bogey in there. So, I mean, up and down, but two eagles is a little wild.
Yeah, that's amazing, especially for someone who's never had one before. I mean, I've had a handful, but never in the same round. And it's usually been on courses that I've played multiple times before, known exactly where to hit it. So congrats on the good round. Yeah, as you know, we were out in Streamsong, Florida, that beautiful golf resort, last week, played 4 days in a row. They have three full courses and then this really cool chain concept where, the tee box is basically built within 100+ yards of the fairway, and you kind of pick where you tee off, and there's no pars, which was a really fun, team game. Jen and I went out and I played my parents, and then my sister and her fiance or husband now was the other team. So great time all around. The Barstool guys were out there, bumped into them, chatted with them for a few minutes. So if you ever get a chance, listeners, to get out to Streamsong, I highly recommend it. It's a bit of a golfer's paradise, but they got a great spa and some pool and some fishing as well, some shooting too. So great last couple of weeks, but we missed last week's pod. So we're going to jump into a few things today. We've got the Final Four. Most importantly, it's been a heck of a tournament. Not as many Cinderellas and upsets as I'd like to see, but here we are. We got one double-digit seed in the Final Four. And then we'll get back to golf and jump into the Valero Texas Open and LIV Miami, at least an outright winner from the LIV Miami. But before we get into our best bets for the Final Four, Jay Mills, how's your bracket? How are your bets looking? How did the first couple of weekends go for you?
Yeah, I mean, I've actually doing pretty good on the player prop bets for Sleeper and whatnot. It seems fairly easy. The last couple of years I've done it. I mean, you just kind of just take the big dogs in these games and they show up and play, right? When you have these NBA talents against these kind of, I mean, middle school teachers and counselors in a couple of years from now, and nothing wrong with that, right? They're ballers. They're still good, but it's a different level. So you take these dogs in these games to go for big points and rebounds, and it's fairly easy to pick up some things there. As far as the bracket, I wouldn't say it's doing good, but I don't really know if anybody said bracket ever looks good, so I'm not gonna act like I know what I'm doing there. But every once in a while you get lucky, so the player props I think is the way to go. If I can remember that next year, come tournament time, I'll just double down on that instead of betting the games. But probably won't remember that.
Purdue at Tennessee was really good to me. I did a points ladder for both Edie and Connect, and they both just, I mean, I think Edie finished with 40, Connect at 30 something. So they both cashed everything for me there. I have UConn over Purdue, but my first few rounds were so poor that I think best I can finish is like fifth, because that was a pretty popular pick, obviously. So bracket, we'll see if I pull anything down there, but I'm right there with you. I think we had some success taking the all underdogs for the first weekend. I think we were net positive, but after that, it kind of fits to form. So anyway, we'll jump into the Final Four best bets, and we're going to start out with Alabama versus UConn. So I'm not surprised Alabama made it this far. Their first Final Four in school history. They play it at a tough pace for a lot of teams to keep up with. And they made a great run to the Final Four. UConn was expected to do so, and they've dominated teams. I think they've won every game by 13 or more. So they're coming in as the heavy favorite right now, obviously. And so, when I think about this game, the pace is going to be quick. It's how Alabama plays, and they're going to force you up and down the court, whether they're winning or whether they're losing. So what I think about this, I think UConn's going to win the game. I just didn't know if I wanted to touch that double digit spread. And so with the pace of play, I'm actually going to take UConn's team total. I got it at 86.5. I know it seems high, but -115 odds there. They're 315th in pace, but they don't have trouble playing at a faster pace and scoring with teams that play a lot faster and want to get out and run. So a team like Alabama, who's looking to outscore, not out defend, is a perfect opponent for UConn to put up a lot of points. They've allowed 82, 87, and 96 in three of their four NCAA games. Going back to SEC play, nine of their last 14 opponents have scored over 85 points. And we're talking about arguably the best team in the nation. So pace of play should give the Huskies an advantage with more shot attempts. And then Alabama's defense, third softest that UConn has faced since Big East play started, only ahead of Stetson and DePaul. So I think this game is going to be total around 170, and I don't see a problem with UConn getting a 90.
Yeah, I mean, this UConn team is, I mean, just loaded all around. One of the best coached teams in college basketball, and they're blowing everybody out. I mean, Gonzaga very rarely gets blown out by anybody, and they just handled them. So
that was Purdue.
Yeah, I'm tripping. That was Purdue. But UConn is still now I'm over here sounding like I don't know what I'm talking about.
They waxed is one of the Illinois. Still, yeah.
Yeah, still one of the best coached teams in the nation. This Alabama team running the gun. They're shooting the great from the three-point line. I mean, they made 12 three-pointers, 16 three-pointers in the last couple of games. So I think if they can shoot the three, they'll be able to stay in this game. I just don't think Alabama's going to be able to shoot the three against a well-coached UConn team that defends the three very well and plays good defense. I think that minus 11.5 number, minus 110, I'd take that all the way up to a minus 13. I'm rolling with UConn to blow them out. And if they end up seeing Purdue in the championship round, that's a different matchup. I think with Edie, they'll be able to slow them down. But that's something that you can talk about coming up here later on in the bets. But that kind of rolls us into our next game, NC State though versus Purdue. And I mean, really the only Cinderella team and the first team you've seen kind of with this NIL / transfer portal kind of makeup. They basically have every single player that plays on their roster comes from a different team. They didn't recruit any of these guys coming out of high school. None of them were commits out of high school. And I think that with that being said, they're playing very well together. They have a big down low and Burns who kind of control the tempo of games, give you little spurts. It doesn't seem like he stays on the court too long because they don't want to tire him out. They need his offense. But that dude's a beast, whether he plays in the NBA or plays in the NFL one day. It sounds like he's got some NFL interest. I'm rolling with them at plus 9.5. I think he'll be able to put up some points against Zach Edey, and I wouldn't be surprised if he can try to get Zach Edey in some foul trouble, and I think that's kind of going to be their game plan. If you can attack Edey and get him in foul trouble, I mean, the Purdue team's not very great outside of that when he's off the court. So my thing is plus 9.5. Just he's going to be pounding them all game. So I think Edey could have a couple fouls here and there. And if he gets in foul trouble, it's not looking good for Purdue.
Yeah. I'll jump back to the NC State, your bet there in a second. One thing about UConn against Illinois, I mean, that 30-0 run bridging the first half to the second half was just unreal. I mean, you don't see that. And they just took the life out of Illinois. So wanted to comment on that. As far as NC State Purdue goes, big shout out to Rye Reigs. I think he had NC State at least beating Texas Tech way back when we did our pod 2 weeks ago, and he saw their potential. And so good for him. I hope his bracket picked up some points with them. The thing about NC State that I think makes this intriguing is they have three bigs that they can run at Zach Edey, and we've seen them get in foul trouble: Diarra, Burns, and then Middlebrooks, who's played fantastic off the bench when they've needed him, because those guys do get in foul trouble. And I see this just like you do. I don't think Purdue can cover that number because I think they're going to run multiple bodies at Edey, and I think they can keep up points-wise. But I do see Purdue winning this game. Now, that's not enough juice for me to take that line. So I'm actually going to parlay this with two player props as well, both Zach Edey. I'm going 24 plus points and 14 plus rebounds. Those three parlayed together get you plus 150. Edey is just a man on a mission. He seems like there's nothing more that he wants to do is prove people wrong and win this natty. He's averaging 30 points per game and 16.3 rebounds per game in the tournament. He's eclipsed 14 rebounds in every game this tournament and has hit 24 plus in three of the four games, with the lone under coming against Utah State, where he had 23 points, but he only logged 27 minutes. So long story short is if this guy plays 30 minutes in the tournament in a close game, this is not a blowout, I don't see any problem with him getting 25 and 15. I mean, he's just a tank down there. So Purdue, Edey 24 plus points and 14 plus rebounds at plus 150 is my my go-to for NC State Purdue. And I think we'll just go ahead with a best bet for the national championship here. I guess I decided to go a little against the grain of my bracket with UConn over Purdue. Maybe it's a hedge. Maybe it's just what I've seen, you know, primarily with Purdue. But I think UConn's the best team. I think Zach Edey is simply unstoppable. I know Klingon at UConn can provide some pushback. He's got some size. But, you know, once he's off the court, I think it's going to be tough for them to contain him. And there's a reason why Edey is the back-to-back player of the year. Nobody can really fully stop him. So I think this could be a game for the ages if these two meet. But a future at plus 320 to take both favorites to win in the Final Four and then the underdog with the best player in the country to win it over UConn, I think is really good odds. And like I said, it also helps with my hedge against UConn over Purdue in that bracket, which may finish in some money in some of my pools. So that's what I'm rolling with for my national championship best bet.
Yeah, I mean, I'm rolling with something completely different. It's really just a value bet for me. An NC State team that I think has a chance to beat Purdue if things break their way. And if they do beat them, I really do think they can compete with the UConn team if they're hitting their threes, right? So plus 1,600, I mean, you got to win two games. So you're basically hoping they win their first game upset, and then you're basically getting them at basically as an underdog at 16-1 odds, I mean, where they'll probably be at a plus 450. So I think NC State has a chance to beat Purdue this week if they play flawless basketball, which they've been doing pretty much down the stretch. They're the hottest team in college basketball right now. It's kind of crazy what they did, ran through the ACC, won that, and now they ran all the way to the Final Four. And they're kind of a team of destiny, and I think they're talented enough to compete with these teams. They're not like these St. Peter's of the world that make it to the Elite Eight, and they're just not talented, and they just get hot. I mean, this team is talented. They have a lot of vets, a lot of seniors on this team. Like I talked about, all these guys play to other organizations, and they gel well together. So I think this NC State team at 16-1 odds is a little crazy. It probably should be closer to 9-1 odds considering there's only four teams left. But I mean, the books love the Purdue and UConn money, and they're kind of trying to bait people into those NC State numbers. But 16-1 odds, I think, is great. So two games. Yep. And that kind of rolls us out of college basketball into, like I said, I've always said one of my favorite things to bet is golf, into the Valero Open. We are officially under 14 days until the Masters. So the Masters is coming up quick on you guys. I mean, it's the mecca of golf. One of the most beautiful things on TV to watch on a Sunday morning. Masters, Tiger in red, even though probably won't be there. I'll be happy if he even plays a couple rounds. But, I mean, what can you beat then? A little warm-up to the Masters, get you going. The Valero Open's in San Antonio, supposed to be in the mid-80s all week. Finally getting some hot golf. You're going to see a lot of balls going 350 off the tee box there with that warm weather in San Antonio. So I just love this event just because it's like this is when people start tuning into golf, and you're going to see a lot of odds change for the Masters this week based on how people perform here and good ways or bad ways. And my favorite golfer in Ludwig, I've been talking about all year, is down in the single digits to bet. So I'm sad about that. Can't bet him this week. But that kind of rolls into the golf. I don't know what your takes are on this tournament that really doesn't matter for any means.
Yeah. You know, I'm just looking. It's so there's two courses right at this look at TPC San Antonio. They're playing the Oaks course, which has been played there since 2010. So a lot of history to draw on. It's fascinatingly designed by Greg Norman and Sergio Garcia, 7,500 yards, roughly rating 76.6, slope 145. But playing out in the Oaks course is one of a very strategic course. It's got some aggressive bunker placements, some actually short par fours for these guys to attack, and then some really interestingly difficult par fives, including the 18th, which can be a very tough hole to close and try and win a tournament on. So I think while it's not the most highly touted and it's kind of a brush up for the Masters, I do think it provides a very interesting challenge for these guys as they approach what's arguably the best tournament of the year. So I'll just drive us right into our top 20 picks for the week. And I'm going to start with a guy that I think J Mills has taken the pass. I'm not sure if Riggs did, but I'm going to go with Billy Horschel at plus 165 to top 20 this week. We know he's a boomer bust kind of guy, but he's gained true strokes across the board in three of his past four events for three top 15 finishes, including a tie for seventh in Houston last week. He's won seven times on the PGA Tour, so he's no stranger to getting up and finishing high. But he's seventh in greens in regulation percentage, 14th in strokes gained putting for the season. And he's a streaky golfer. So when he's playing well, he's going to probably continue to play well until the wheels fall off. I also think, you know, he's not guaranteed to play in the Masters. So he needs a strong showing this week. And I think he's the type of, he's got that type of mindset that when you challenge him, he can show up. So I'm going with Billy Horschel plus 165 for a top 20.
Yeah, I love Billy Horschel, one of my favorite golfers to watch. Very animated, very streaky golfer, and he's playing really good golf right now. And I think the time to jump on him is when he is playing good, because he rides that for a good 10-event thing, and then he kind of falls off the map. So I think a plus 165 to top 20 in an event that's not that stacked, in an event that he almost basically needs to win or at least top five to give himself a chance for an invite at the Masters. Most likely probably needs to win. I like it a lot. I think he could go low here, attack some of these pins, and plus 165 is great odds. I'm rolling with one of my favorite golfers. He kind of just gives you that little underdog story, even though he's not really an underdog. Matt Fitzpatrick, I don't know, whenever I watch him, maybe it's because he's small. Used to not hit the ball very far and kind of worked on his game, very strategic. Hadn't played well at the end of the year last year, beginning of the year this year. And I don't know if you heard the story, but for how analytical he is about his golf swing and tracking every single shot, he put a weight in all of his clubs in the actual handle of the club. It gets to test it out. And he took it out of every club except his driver. And if you look back in the last like 6 months, prior to the players, his strokes gained off the tee were atrocious, and he finally remembered that it was in there. He took it out, and then he had T5'd at the players. So I think a guy like Matt Fitzpatrick, when he's playing good, and a T5 in his last event, I think plus 140 odds, the top 20 is just not okay. I think that needs to be in the minus numbers. He's one of the best all strikers on tour. Approach players on tours. Plus 140, I love the odds, and that kind of rolls us into another big name that I got into top 10. And I'm rolling with Ricky Fowler. Like I told you, I take a lot of big bets on these ones, and I'm rolling with Ricky Fowler 9-1. Finished top 10 last year in this event. Hasn't been playing great this year, period, but Ricky Fowler is the type of golfer that he's going to want to play good leading up to the Masters. And at 9-1 odds, I just think he's way too talented of a golfer to be this high of a number. I mean, when you're looking down at those odds, you got people that I've never even heard of, and you're going to just throw Ricky Fowler in there. I think it's just disrespectful. So I'm kind of just rolling with Ricky Fowler to figure it out. He's been able to figure it out throughout his career here and there, even when he's playing bad. So 9-1 odds, I'm just rolling the dice.
Ricky's always a fun guy to bet on, and I, like you said, 9-1 with the top 10. That's kind of, it seems like you're kind of taking your old top five philosophy to the top tens now, because we got rid of that to bleed a little bit of our college basketball in. But you know, 9-1 for a guy who's got the talents, got the history, definitely don't hate it, and might take a further look at that myself. I'm going back to a guy we've already talked about. And that's Matt Fitzpatrick. He's a plus 280. I'm not going to hammer on what you already said, but I think when you look at TPC San Antonio, to score well and to be in contention, you're going to need to make putts. And Fitzpatrick, you know, to your point, Justin, is one of the best putters on tour. He's ranked ninth in putting average, 16th in one putt percentage at over 43%, which is really good. And he also ranks 14th in total driving and 26th in greens and regulation percentage at over 70%. So if he's making greens and regulation at over 70% and he's one putting 43% of those times, I think he's a great guy to back for even a top 10 this week, which is what I'm taking him at plus 280. So like Matt Fitzpatrick again this week, and hopefully he can make us a little money for that top 10. And I think we'll close out our Valero Texas Open with our outright winner picks. And I'm going back to a guy I picked before. Frankly, I don't always love picking Homa. He's a little bit of a tease. You know, when he's on, he can win every week. But there's a lot of events where he'll have a one bad round. It was kind of like the Aberg thing, one bad round, and then he'll play really well. And you think he's going to go and win, and then he finishes, top five or top 10. But overall, I think I've talked about true strokes gained on approach, I think, with the first two golfers. He's 10th. Coming into this tournament, he's 12th in true strokes gained a tee across his past 31 rounds, and he's 4th in true strokes gained putting across his past 12 rounds. So we talk about the putting again; that's very important. So a strong tee to green game with what's seemingly like a hot putter right now positions him really well for another shot at his 7th victory on tour. And when you start to look at the top tier golfers in this event, and you see some of the world's best are not in it. I think that just gives him a little bit leg up to go out and win it. And at 22-1 odds for a guy that's probably a top five golfer in this event, I think is too good to pass up. So I'm taking Max Homa to win outright this week.
Yeah, and I originally was going to roll with Fitzpatrick, but we talked about him so much. I just want to give you guys a different name. Somebody I love this week is Jordan Spieth. He plays in this tournament every year. He's from Texas. He's a Texas kid. Loves these type of tournaments. He plays very well at this tournament in particular. He's top five in true strokes gained at 1.86. So I think that's a guy that when you have a tournament like the Masters coming up, and we'll talk about it more when it comes to when we talk about live bets and kind of the reason I'm rolling with one of the guys I'm rolling with. But this is when these golfers turn it on. And the people like Spieth are able to flip a switch in their golf game and take it to a whole new level of focus. And the biggest thing he wants to do is just come out here and have a good week in top 10, top five, get some momentum going into the Masters and just roll with that. So I think Spieth at 20-1 odds is a great bet, considering he is probably the third, fourth best golfer in this event. If maybe even the second best golfer, honestly, you could argue. At 20-1 odds, it's a little insane. It's that high. So I'm just going to talk about him. Roll of Fitz, too, if you want a 25-1. But I just want to give you something else since we talked a lot about Fitzpatrick. And yeah. Hopefully he does good, because if he doesn't, we're going to look like idiots.
Yeah.
And that rolls us into like, dude needs to win or top five at least so he can win our top 20, top 10 bets. Look like he's in contention on Sunday. So that kind of rolls in our novelty bet, which last time we were on, it was the players. And I took a playoff, and it was strictly based on the fact that there hadn't been a playoff in a while. And there was like six dudes tied for second, and not one of them could birdie 18. Wyndham Clark went like two balls deep in the cup, and somehow it came out. So I didn't hit that bet, but I'm rolling with the hole-in-one this week. Hasn't been a hole-in-one, I believe, in the last 2 weeks. I didn't see one last week. I could be wrong. I didn't really follow the tournament so much. We had some college basketball going on. I was focused on that. But at plus 100, I think a hole-in-one in a tournament where the par threes are playing under 200 yards, people are going to be able to attack these pins, good weather. It just seems like it's got to happen, right? So plus 100 is great odds.
Yeah, double up your money. You're going to have enough swings at it, right, over the course of the weekend. I'm taking a little bit of an interesting look at mine. I'm going with a three-ball matchup. Gets you plus 135 odds. And I'm taking McIlroy over Hebert and Connors. So to me, look, I think Connors won this event last year, if I'm not mistaken. So it's a little sticky there, but it's really for me more of a play against Aberg right now. And I like him as a golfer. I love to bet him. But I think if you look at Aberg recently, he's kind of struggled with his accuracy off the tee. And he's a guy who's known for being a great driver of the ball. He's entering this week ranked 98th in driving accuracy at under 58%. And TPC San Antonio, outside of being, needing to putt well, does put a premium on where you position the ball off the tee. So if you don't have an accurate driver, I think it's going to be tough for Åberg to climb up that leaderboard as quickly as some other guys. And when I kind of flip over and look at McIlroy, the driver is the top club in his bag and has been for years. It's not just about bombing it, but he has a lot of control with it too. And I think he's going to be able to position himself well around the course to, you know, have a good second, third shot, you know, good opportunities to birdie going into the green. So I like McIlroy. It'll probably come back to bite me. I'm kind of disregarding Connors in this bet. But that guy, if he's on, he could blow this up either way. So McIlroy over Åberg and Connors at +135 is my novelty for this week. And we'll take it into LIV Miami. We're going to do, you know, just our one outright winner. Justin, you kind of hit the nail on the head. I think we're both thinking similarly with our picks here. Gearing up for the Masters, right? Look at guys who play well in the Masters and start to play well as they get closer. And it doesn't hurt that he's probably my favorite golfer, who the lone time I went against him with Anthony Kim failed miserably, obviously. So I'm going back to Brooks Koepka at +1600. I think, you know, we talked about it. To me, there's a handful of guys that are going to win on LIV every week. And when I say handful, I'm talking, you know, five or six guys that I really look down that lineup. You got, you know, you've got Rahm, obviously. You've got Koepka, you got Smith, you got Neiman, maybe DJ in there. You know, maybe Ustin pops in, you know, Oosthuizen pops in here and there. But when you really boil it down, I look at Rahm, Koepka, Smith, and then Neiman with as well as he's been playing lately. And so I'm going with Koepka 16-1. I think he's going to get his game into gear for the Masters. And I actually think he'll have a good showing of the Masters as well. So that's my pick for LIV Miami this week.
Yeah, I mean, I've already bet both these guys that we're going to talk about in Brooks. And then my guy, Cam Smith, you briefly mentioned. I mean, I was always kind of a Cam Smith fan. He's got the mullet going, laid-back dude from Australia. Seems like he doesn't take golf too serious. Probably the best putter in the world right now, at least on tour-wise. I'm sure there's some, like, old guy out there that just drains everything. But he's definitely the best pro putter and just a magician around the greens. When it comes to Cam Smith, he's going to be coming into the United States with one mission. That's to get a Masters under his belt. And going back to when they played the, I'm drawing a blank on it, out in Scotland. The old, you know what I'm talking about?
Carnoustie?
No, when he won the major 2 years ago, I'm drawing a blank on the name of the course.
St. Andrews?
Yeah, St. Andrews. I forget about St. Andrews? Anyways, golf bucket list for everybody in the world. But we're back to St. Andrews. I mean, what, six strokes back on Roy, who had the lead, and dude goes like 10 under on Sunday to win it. My buddy actually drunkenly bet $50 on him. He's like, I'm going to bet Cam Smith. I'm like, he's not going to win, bro. He's six strokes back and Roy's in front of him. So came back and won. So won him like $1,000 or something. But Cam Smith he's a dog. I mean, the thing with him that I love is at any given moment, he could go on a seven birdie stretch, like seven birdies in a row. Like, he's one of those golfers. So he's really never out of it. If he's within five strokes going into the back nine, he's somebody to watch. He's somebody that, if you're playing with him and he makes back-to-back birdies, you kind of look over and you go, oh, here we go. So Cam Smith at 14-1 odds. I love him this week. I love him at the Masters. I'm probably going to bet him this week for the Masters. Probably going to be my biggest bet for the Masters. Just a magician around the greens, and that's what the Masters is going to need. Don't know much about this LIV Miami golf course. It's a long course. You're going to need to keep it in the fairway. I know that. People like Brooks are going to have fun because they're going to be able to hit the ball 340 yards down the middle of the fairway and somehow have a 9-iron in from 200 out. Doesn't make any sense. But Cam Smith, Brooks, dogs, they're going to win a couple of times on LIV Tour. So anytime they're above 10-1 odds, I love it. And Brooks up to 16, 18-1 odds, you can find them at certain places. And Cam, 14-16-1 odds, if you're out there book shopping. Best bets, and there's nothing better than having two golf tournaments going on and some money going on. Hopefully one of them can win you some money and get you to break even or up. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be a fun weekend. Not the biggest tournaments in the world golf-wise, but got some good action for you. I think we'll hit on a few, and I'm amped up for the Final Four. I can't wait, even though it's, you know, a little underwhelming overall without any Cinderellas. I think we've got, you know, three, four really great teams, really talented teams, and kind of sad at how quickly the NCAA tournament always goes. You get through that first weekend, and then the rest goes by in a blink, but thanks so much for tuning in. We'll be back next week with some more golf for you folks. We're going to try and get the TikToks up and running again. I know we had some fun things going on before the tournament. We had a few. We had our March Madness predictor, the Burt, which did great on the first couple days. Kind of fell apart late. Might bring the Burt back. But go ahead and, you know, like and follow us on the socials. Tune in wherever podcasts are streamed. And until next week, bettors, this is Better Bets Ahead.